This is Mona Lisa Baseball. Yes, it's May baseball time. So, of course, we're going to have to begin with the roast of Tom Brady. Maybe not for the reasons you're thinking. I had heard Kim Kardashian got up on the mic to roast Mr. Brady, and the crowd booed her for, 10 seconds. Maybe some jeering, booing. She didn't appear to like it very much. And she rolled her eyes and kind of looked around, didn't quite know what to do. I think that might have been her first sign that people are tired of her. Hey, it only took, 20 years? Not so bad. A lot more than 15 minutes. Anywho, the reason I bring up Kim Kardashian or Tom Brady or Netflix is because supposedly 2 to 3 days later, Netflix edited out the booing of Ms. Kardashian. And it made me think, isn't that just the most perfect thing? That for, 10 plus years, we've gotten so much Kardashian feed. And finally, when things start going the other way and it's a roast, we're not, as the audience members, we're not allowed to hear the boos. So who's behind this? The reason I ask this question and why it has anything to do with baseball is I just want to remind you, you don't have to believe what you're being force-fed. If you don't like the new version of baseball, that's okay. If you prefer a quicker game, that's okay. Do you need a clock to do so? That's what's in question. I say no. But the thing is, you don't have to believe what you're being told. Go inwards as far as you can and see how it feels to you. And that's a question I'm going to keep asking you. So what can be done? So I was thinking about this. This is pretty great. Reinstate the 1999 rules. And what would the reaction be? So would the players naturally move quicker because they realize that it is better when it's a little bit quicker and a little bit less time wasting? I don't want you to take it the wrong way when I say time wasting. I think there's a lot of reasons why the game got too slow. Way, 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 way too many pitching changes and unnecessary ball scratching and things like that. I think we have to allow the game to move at its own pace. But when people are moving so slow that it's silly, little chin music can't hurt every now and again. So another thing I want to remind you of is if there's things that you don't like about baseball right now, call your team. If everyone called their team and let them know how baseball is being ruined, I think that would help things. So the current thing right now that seems to be real hot is blocking of the base paths. And I know at least one game ended on a replay on a blocking the plate base path thing, and it's so remarkably unnecessary. Let me go back real quick. Buster Posey got his leg broken by plowing into the catcher, and then we couldn't have that anymore. Plowing the catcher was taken out of baseball. And that was around for long enough that now it, for some reason, it seems to be highly important for the umpires to get in the way and call when there's interference or not. I don't know why this is so important out of nowhere. I think the umpires can keep it in check pretty easy by calling it every now and again when it's blatant. But if it's ticky-tack, was he base path, was he not, baseball doesn't need another reason to call time and do a replay. It's ridiculous. No one's going to stay tuned in for that. Now, I got this book, Baseball's Best Shots, copyright year 2000, Baseball's Best Shots. And it's basically what they're telling you is these are the greatest baseball photos of all time. And it's put together not by an artist, but by Major League Baseball. So there's some really, really good ones, but you can definitely tell that it came out around 2000 because of what's in there. A lot of you know, contemporary shots that aren't, wouldn't be argued as all-time classics. But anywho, there's at least four out of the, say, 150 photos that shows a catcher being plowed by a base runner. And it made me a little sad to think that you will never see that play again. And it was, I wouldn't say it's a huge part of baseball, but it was something that might happen, oh, we'll say once every 10 games. And this is kind of what I'm talking about, this slow bleed out where you take that play out of baseball and you go, yeah, you know, it wasn't a huge deal. I don't know. Maybe I like the game 1% less now that that play doesn't exist anymore. If those things keep happening and you keep losing a percentage point here and there, do the math yourself. Doesn't take too long before you go, yeah, I still like the sport, but it's not as good as it was. Now be careful. People will chime immediately in with, oh, you sound like the get off my lawn type. And that's not really what we're talking about. It's not that baseball can't change. Baseball can change. The rules need to not change because the way that baseball was worked out originally was it had decades to correct itself, and we found a version that was so good that it lasted for decades and decades, and then, pow! Boy, are things moving quick right now. Now, instead of going in and changing up all the rules, can't we just take baseball for what it is? Now, your job as a fan, is it really your job to try to figure out how baseball would be better if, even though it's already perfect, was perfect? As a fan, can't you just sit down to watch baseball in front of a television or in front of a radio and just take it for what it is? You're there to see what happens in the ballgame. Can't you just feel robo-ups are coming? How many times have you heard or seen stories about Angel Hernandez this year? Well, I think this is baseball's wet dream. They cannot wait to bring robo-umps in. They can't wait to get more control under their greedy little fingertips. Every time Angel Hernandez makes a bad call, it's all over everything. Now, I'm not saying he's a good umpire. What I'm saying is, baseball is taking advantage of the scenario that's going on right now, which is basically they're scaring everyone. He's unfireable and he's basically out to ruin the game. So how easy is it to say, well, why do we even need an umpire when we can just ditch him and get a robo ump and tell us what's actually a strike or not? Careful with that. Careful with that. Any pitcher like Greg Maddux, a nibbler, it's not going to work for him. If the nibbler can't convince a computer that something may have been a strike, it's not going to work. So what are you going to get? You're going to get only people that throw 105 and just straight blow it by people. And that's what you're going to get. You're going to get more fireballers in a game that's already overrun with them. The point of baseball is mano y mano, pitcher versus batter. Which team wins? 9 on offense, 9 on defense. Pretty damn simple. So why would you go up there trying to draw a walk? It'd be really nice if players in general went up there to swing the bat. There's a time and a place to work the pitcher, absolutely. But how important is it to you that a pitch 1 inch outside be called a ball? How important is that to you? To me, most of the time, that's a strike. Why would you take that pitch? Are you going to say that your eye is so good in those 0.015 seconds of deciding that you knew that was going to be an inch outside, an inch inside, an inch high? I think what will happen is it will shrink the strike zone so that people want to put the ball in play even less, because when a ball is 1 inch outside the strike zone, it's a ball. When a pitch is thrown 1 inch outside the strike zone and it's a ball, and you don't have that possibility of the ump ringing you up, I think what it leads to is more bat on your shoulder type stuff. So is the attendance up or down this year? It doesn't matter that much because baseball was stagnant for a lot of reasons. They injected it with a bunch of new rules and it got a little more popular. We'll just say it's roughly the same this year. So is that good enough? Is that going to be good enough for the owners next year? Let me tell you something as a billionaire. Can't say I'm a billionaire myself, but owners need growth. And I used to come up with this theory that if you have $100 million, why do you need $200 million? And I needed a good answer. I really needed it. And I actually found my answer one day when I was riding home from work on my bike. I was riding through the park. It was winter time, and this park had a homeless population in it. And I remember seeing someone that was definitely part of the homeless community. And I don't consider myself rich at all, but that was a cold morning. So when I got off work, I had a big jacket. It wasn't necessary at that hour of the day, but I had a big jacket. And I started to think about it. Should I give this guy my jacket? And I thought, no, that'd be absolutely crazy. I only have three, maybe four jackets of this warm quality. I can't afford to give one of those up. And then I thought, holy shit. How often do I need more than one of these coats at once? Never. I've never worn one of these three or four coats with another one of them. Doubling up. Never done it. Never done it once. And that was my theory right there. Oh, well, in my little version of being middle class-ish, having a coat separates me. And would I rather have four coats than three? Yes, I would. So would a rich person, a millionaire, billionaire, are they wrong to want $200 million if they have $100 million? No, they're not wrong. It just seems a little unnecessary. The owners need growth. They want to make a splash. And one of the ways that they could make a splash and get some news hits is change up baseball more. Bring in the robo-umps. Bring them in. It gives that talk. Remember what happened at the beginning of last year? The longer that I think about it, the longer I talk about it. Last year was really, really monumental because you'll even hear people sum it up right now. When someone starts talking about attendance, they'll say, and of course, attendance was up from the pitch clock, and then they move on. The pitch clock was one of many big, massive things that happened in baseball last year, but it just gets summed up as pitch clock only. They need that to happen again. I think you can feel that thing coming. They're going to work it with Angel Hernandez. They're going to see at the end of the year that baseball didn't grow as much as they would have liked. Oh man, I'm a little worried with a bad playoff or World Series clock malfunction or something happening. It's going to rock the boat. Well, Shohei ain't pitching again. I hate to tell you, it's a bummer, but it's not happening. There's too much money involved. Injury-wise, people are going to be worried about it. He's a really good pitcher, but is he an ace? I don't know. Is he an ace at bat? Yes. Will that keep the ball out of his hands at the mound? Yes. I think he has 10 starts or less. Now, isn't it funny that I haven't heard anyone talk about Shohei and his gambling situation in about a month? Swept under the rug. Yeah, baseball was not willing to lose its big star. They were going to make that right. So I want to clear something up. I spoke with my dad and he said, hey, I was listening to your show not too long ago. And you said that I said something which I never said. And oh, that made me very excited. So what he told me was he didn't like the way that I said, more or less, that he prefers the pitch clock. What I'd kind of said is it works really well for him on a typical night game, that he knows what the score is, or he knows what the he knows who won the game by 10 p.m. And then he could go to bed and he doesn't have to worry about what happened in extra innings or any of that. The game went quick enough and it finished. So he reminded me, I don't go to bed before midnight. Now, this is a retired dad, not a get up at 4:45 dad. And so he said that wasn't really part of it at all. He says, and I want to get things real clear. I don't prefer the pitch clock. I don't like the clock. What I do like about the clock is it's better than egregious, profuse time wasting by the players. So I wanted to clear that up. He's not a preferer of the clock. He doesn't like profuse time wasting. The other thing I don't want you to get caught up in is don't buy into growing the game. All that is an opportunity for manipulation. First of all, why do they need to grow the game? Who's that going to benefit? Does it benefit you as the fan growing the game? I don't really see how that could help a fan by growing the game, but it does allow them to manipulate the game in any way they would like, and then they just say growing the game and you're supposed to go along with it. Don't forget to call your Major League Baseball team and tell them what you don't like. You got to be aware of these fads. I want to go back to this book I was telling you about. Major League Baseball's Best Shots. Roughly 150 photos. Right before I did this show, I wanted to check. And I was right. There was at least 6 shots of Mark McGwire out of 150. Okay. Baseball and photography have been around, oh, we'll just say about 150 years. 2 years after Mark McGwire sets the all-time record, he gets about 6 out of the 150 shots. The reason I say about is there was even a couple shots with his name in it, like they showed a traditional non-electric scoreboard, and at the bottom they had McGwire with 70 and Sosa with 66. That was a very storied year in baseball, and now it's completely laughed at. But you got to watch out for the fads, and that was a full-blown fad. No one could have imagined the free fall that McGwire would take this many years later. Absolutely no chance for the Hall of Fame. People don't revere him. He's not thought of as one of the all-time greats. And there was a couple of the pictures that were pretty cool, but 6 out of 150? I mean, I saw one picture of Willie Mays, one amazing photo of Ted Williams I've never seen before, a couple nice ones of the Babe, got a Honus Wagner in there, got a Ty Cobb. But doesn't that sound like a fad to you? Multiple Sammy Sosa shots as well. Got to think back of what the history, the entirety of baseball will do for you now and moving into the future. It's always going to be the most attractive. If you can compare it to, say, a different era of your life, further back, say your dad used to tell you stories of his era, grandpa used to tell you stories of his era. The easier you can link those eras, the more it's going to mean to you. One of the reasons why the World Series always feels so amazing in October is because it's that time of year. You can't force it to be October weather. It just falls in the air. You can feel it. Another thing that's really great about October is you used to know that you had the best teams playing, and I just really don't like that every team's making the playoffs. Reading this really, really great book. It is called The New Thinking Man's Guide to Baseball. Copyright 1992. The reason why it's called The New is he wrote The Thinking Man's Guide to Baseball, 25 years before that. So evidently that came out in 67, and enough things had changed in those 25 years for him to write the new Thinking Man's Guide. But isn't this interesting? One big thing had changed in baseball in those 25 years. Huge, huge, monumental. Designated hitter, bam, 1973. Okay, so in those 25 years, yes, the game had changed. It had gone from pitching going crazy in the late 60s, not enough offense. It had really swung the other direction. You went through the full-blown speed phase. You went through AstroTurf, all that stuff. But the rules stayed the same. Just the DH was different. Think of all the things that changed last year. One year. In one year, think how much changed. You're going to keep getting nickel and dimed every year. Why does it not feel as good? It's really hard to keep track. I used to laugh at people when they said, oh, you can feel global warming happening. And you go, oh, so you can feel the difference between 72 degrees and 71.6. Not so sure about that. But I think there's something in the body that can feel when things are a little bit different. The older you get, the more you're going to realize that baseball doesn't feel as good. It's not important. People don't talk about it. One of the main warning signs that I see or don't see is kids don't ever play it in the street, ever. Now, sure, parents might not let their kids play in the street like they used to let us play in the street, but wouldn't you think you'd see it every now and again? And I'm not talking about a full-blown baseball game. I'm talking about wiffle ball. I'm talking about batting a tennis ball. I even had a friend that told me the kabomber. He goes, yeah, we invented a new sport. We use the kabomber. What's the kabomber? You take a wiffle bat, an upside down 5-gallon water jug, and then you cut the end out. And then you duct tape the spout to the wiffle bat. And then you play tennis ball baseball. And when you hit it, bam, there you go, kabomber. Some version of that. Do you ever, ever, ever see American kids playing baseball or any version of it in the street? Do you? I don't. So why do we think we're going to grow the game in Europe and other places? We were able to grow the game in Japan with World War II. We were able to grow the game in Latin America, and they love it. We were not able to grow the game in Europe, in Russia. Did you know that one of Babe Ruth's last years, he toured Japan for the first time and 500,000 people came out to see him? Isn't that awesome? What's my point? I guess baseball had something going for it then that it doesn't have now. Makes me a little bit sad. Okay, so right now basketball is going into this thing, now that it's playoffs, where they want to re-examine all the calls in the last 2 minutes of a game, and teams can write in and basically keep track of plays, and they send them to the league office, and they say, we're not so sure this is the right call. Well, I don't know what basketball thinks can be different. You can't have robots doing a basketball game. That's not going to work. So what is it that they want to be better? Baseball has an opportunity to separate itself pretty far from football, pretty far from basketball, and just make it a human sport. Get rid of the instant replay. There was a game recently that ended on a plate blocking review. Can it get any worse, any more anticlimactic than that? Wouldn't you rather just see the umpire call the guy out and all the fans have to groan collectively and say, ah, get him the next time? Why does the call have to be 100% accurate? Aren't we there to be present in a collective event? We're all putting our energy towards the same thing, which gives it the greatest energy source. We're all putting everything we got into something. to pause, to wait 5 minutes, to send to New York, to figure out later, to do an announcement to the crowd. Wouldn't you rather just see the umpire do something with his hands and arms? That's baseball. That's the play that I'm talking about. You don't have to like the umps, but the umps are part of the play of baseball. You're just there to watch. Now, instead of going as far as they can away from football and basketball, what they're trying to do is simulate it because the NBA and the NFL supposedly are more exciting and the owners want more money. That is such a bad reason. It's such a bad reason. We need to know what actually happened. We need to know if it actually crossed the plate. Do we? One of the reasons that I was talking about the new Thinking Man's Guide to Baseball. So this is a very in-depth book, and I'm really enjoying what this guy has to say. I was very impressed that he had an entire chapter devoted to signs. And yes, I thought it was very interesting that while he was talking about sign stealing, he also said, well, this will probably always be kept in check because if teams start to think that you're stealing signs, they're going to plunk you. And it definitely made me think of Altuve, very first game of spring training, getting plunked after the Astros got caught. So in Leonard Coppett's book, the last chapter that I read is simply titled The Designated Hitter. And I was very excited to hear what he thought about it. Obviously, I was thinking, oh, he's going to hate it as much as me. He's going to tell the world how stupid it is, how it's not pure baseball, this, that, and the other. And I was dead wrong. And I wasn't necessarily in favor of the designated hitter, but he took the stance that I never even considered. He was totally neutral on it. He was like, eh, take it, leave it, have it different in each league. It's not really going to matter that much. And he made some really, really good points. Yes, offense will go up, but that's natural because instead of in the nine slot having typical pitcher will hit 100 for the year, you put in someone that the major league average at the time was like 260. So you put a guy in for 260, do the math, that's going to get you X more runs, X more home runs. That's what fans like, offense. So this is what you're going to get. But he wasn't totally in favor or against it. He just said, man, basically it doesn't matter. Here's my main gripe with Mr. Coppett. Two things. Numero uno, he didn't take into consideration how it makes you feel when your pitcher does something great on offense and how unique that is to the baseball game. You can't really get that back anywhere. And there's something special about when you're not expecting something from a person and then they come through in spades. That is very exciting. So he didn't go through that at all. And I think I would have liked for him to talk about that. And the other thing I would have liked for him to talk about, which I think is far more important, is that Major League Baseball is the guide for the rest of the world how to play baseball. This is the highest, most accomplished version, which is one of the reasons why I think it's so important that they play actual baseball rules. The game that grew into itself that everyone fell in love with that all of a sudden wasn't good enough because it wasn't as popular as other sports. Who's behind this? Go inwards. Baseball doesn't need another reason to call time and do a replay. Remarkably unnecessary. It's ridiculous. We like to call it hardball because they're not playing baseball. Dead wrong. if everyone called their team and let them know how baseball is being ruined, I think that would help things.